This is WFYI News Now. It's November 7th. Coming up, our statewide team is answering listener questions about Indiana politics, including this one. Does anything bipartisan happen at the State House?
We trusted each other, and we respected each other.
The answer might surprise you. But first, these headlines. Today's Indianapolis mayoral election is the most expensive in recent memory. WFYI's Alex Lee has more.
Democratic incumbent Joe Hogsett and Republican challenger Jefferson Shreve reported nearly $21 million in contributions last month. State law requires the candidates to file reports on who gives them money, but the information is not easily accessible. So WFYI created a database for the public to search all these contributions. Go to wfyi.org/news to use it. I'm Alex Lee, WFYI News.
The Indiana University Board of Trustees plans to discuss separating the world-famous Kinsey Institute from the university at its meeting this Thursday. WFYI's Sarah Neil Estes voiced this story from reporter Ethan Sandweiss.
The Kinsey Institute's research on sexuality, gender, and relationships has attracted plenty of opposition, but until 2023, Indiana University had largely been able to insulate it from direct attacks. That changed when the state legislature added an amendment to the budget that stripped the Institute of public funding. IU's administration now proposes to split the Kinsey Institute into a separate 501c3 nonprofit governed by its own board. Its collections and archives would remain under university ownership. Professor Zoe Peterson is director of the Kinsey Institute's Sexual Assault Initiative and says she had no idea this proposal was coming and that the timeline leaves faculty without enough opportunity to respond.
This is, in some ways, our biggest concern is this rush to vote. And we have many, many questions and concerns that they're not yet able to answer.
And former Kinsey board chair Claude Cookman says separating the collection from the Institute would be a mistake.
It's impossible to overstate how important those collections are to the history and the brand of the Institute.
IU issued a statement saying, quote, "It is firmly committed to protecting the intellectual freedom and academic inquiry of the Kinsey Institute and is taking steps to ensure that its work continues in perpetuity."
Microplastics in lakes and ponds can cause algae to grow out of control, depriving fish and other aquatic life of oxygen. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Rebecca Thiel reports that's according to new research by Purdue University.
Tiny organisms like zooplankton eat algae, helping to control it in lakes and ponds. But Purdue researchers say too many microplastics, which are about the same size as that algae, block zooplankton's guts, limiting how much algae they can eat. Too much algae in water can kill fish and other aquatic life and release toxic chemicals that make the water unsafe for animals and people alike. Thomas Hook is a professor at Purdue and directs the Illinois-Indiana Sea Grant Program.
It's not simply that they're in the environment and it's kind of alarming that they're there, but that they're actually having not only direct but also indirect effects on how environmental systems function.
Hook says global plastic production is going up, so the problem will likely get worse. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Rebecca Thiel.
Individuals can help by using less plastic, disposing of it properly, and adding microplastic filters to their washing machines. West Lafayette Mayor John Dennis visited Lafayette to say goodbyes to city officials there during Monday night's city council meeting. As Ben Thorpe reports, Dennis was diagnosed with early-onset Alzheimer's disease last year and is not seeking re-election.
It was a tearful goodbye as Dennis, a lifelong resident, reminisced about his time growing up and working in Greater Lafayette. Dennis served for 23 years in the Lafayette Police Department before he was elected mayor of West Lafayette in 2007. Dennis thanked the council and specifically Lafayette Mayor Tony Rozworski for their time together, both while serving on the police force and as mayors of the two cities.
Tony Rozworski has been my big brother. In some cases, my father, my mentor, and my hero. He's made my life a lot different. That much I can tell you.
Dennis will be succeeded by West Lafayette Director of Development Aaron Easter, who is running unopposed for his seat. I'm Ben Thorpe.
And for our in-depth story today, Republicans have held supermajorities in both chambers of the Indiana General Assembly for more than a decade. and listeners regularly ask whether anything bipartisan happens at the State House. Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith reports the amount of bills that pass with support from both Republicans and Democrats would likely surprise many people.
Abortion, gun restrictions, transgender rights. These are some of the most controversial and least bipartisan issues the General Assembly tackles, but they're also the issues people in Indiana are most likely to see in news coverage. And political scientist Laura Wilson says that skews how people view the legislature overall.
And I would add, too, we make an assumption sometimes that there's this monolithic group of Democrats and a monolithic group of Republicans. And within their own party, everybody thinks and feels the exact same way on those issues. And we know that that's not true.
Wilson says elections, too, heavily color how people view lawmakers.
But it's always going to be oppositional. Like, by nature, you're trying to position yourself in the opposite corner of whoever you're competing against, and you're highlighting how you are different.
Terry Austin agrees. A Democrat who served in the legislature for 20 years, she understands why people view it through the prism of partisan elections.
But once you get elected, you do not just represent your party. You have to represent people. And you have to represent all people.
The numbers seem to bear that out. Over the past five legislative sessions, more than 1,000 bills became law. And more than 90% had support from both Democrats and Republicans in both chambers. And the final floor votes on nearly 40% of all those bills were unanimous. Austin says that's because so much of the legislature's work is issues both sides agree need to be solved.
And compromise does not mean that you're giving away your principles or giving up your principles and values.
But when a GOP lawmaker almost never needs Democratic support to pass a bill, why is bipartisanship important?
The minority party who has co-authors always have some input or some ideas or some tweaks that I've taken that's making the bill better.
That's Representative Greg Steuerwald, the chair of the House GOP caucus. It would be hard to name a bigger bipartisan accomplishment than his comprehensive police reform bill in 2021.
Considering that point in history and the potential for that bill to go bad, it's probably the number one bill that I authored.
Just months after the murder of George Floyd sparked nationwide protests around police accountability, that bill passed four committees on both the House and Senate floor without a single amendment and without a single no vote. How was that possible? Well, Steuerwald didn't do it alone. He had input from every law enforcement organization in the state and the Indiana Black Legislative Caucus, led at the time by Representative Robin Shackelford.
We had to give people expectations into a realistic alignment. You have the Black caucus, you have the Black community whose wants and needs was all over a spectrum. So trying to narrow that down into things that we all could agree on.
Shackelford says a big part of what made the collaboration possible was the people involved.
One of the biggest lessons I think that can be learned is, and I think Representative Steuerwald and I both had it in each other, that we trusted each other and we respected each other.
Former Representative Austin says a growing lack of those personal relationships is why she thinks bipartisanship has lessened over the past two decades.
We've seen less of a inclination to really get to know people who may sit on the other side, or less of an opportunity to really get to know them as people. And that's the first step in understanding the perspective that somebody brings to your debate.
Still, Austin says a majority of the legislature's work remains bipartisan, more than many Hoosiers might think. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith at the State House.
That's all for today's episode. WFYI News Now was produced by the following people who live in your community: Aubriana Heron, Kendall Antron, and me, Darian Benson. Our news director is Sarah Neil Estes. If you liked today's episode, remember to subscribe and share. And find us wherever you get your podcasts to hear more stories about your community.